We're on the very bottom of Samach Dalet Amud Beis. We saw yesterday that there is a dispute between Rabbi Akiva and the sages whether a seller sells very generously, that's the view of Rabbi Akiva, or a seller sells haltingly, stingily. He doesn't sell everything. He tries to keep for himself as much as he could. That's the view of the Chachamim. And we saw that there are four possible disputes in the Mishnah that maybe are based on this argument. And finally, the conclusion was that the last of the four, the case of a man who sells a field, so included in that, or so when he sells the field, he's retained for himself. The well, the question of whether he needs to now go back and buy a path to the well is dependent on this question. So now Itmar, we learned, Rav Huna Amar Rav, Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, Halacha Kedivrei Chachamim, Halacha is like the Chachamim, namely that when a person sells, he's not super generous, he actually tries to keep for himself as much as he can, so he sells as little as possible. That's the view of Rav Huna in the name of Rav. Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba Amar Shmuel, but Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba said in the name of Shmuel, Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva, Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, that when a person sells, he sells generously. So from the case that we just saw, a person who sold a field, even though he retained for himself the well, he will have to go back and buy a path to the well, because he sold generously. He also sold the area around the well. So I'm Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba, Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba, Rav Huna, Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba, said Rav Huna, how could you say this? I was Zimninski and Amrita kamei de Rav. There were many times that I said in front of Rav, Hilchasa Rabbi Akiva, Halachas like Rabbi Akiva. And V'lo Amrli V'lo Midi, Rav never protested. That means that Rav also seems to agree halachas like Rabbi Akiva. So how could you say, in the name of Rav, halachas like the Chachamim and not like Rabbi Akiva? So Amar Lei, Rav Huna said back to Rabbi Abba, Hei Tnise. What did you exactly say in front of Rav that you're thinking that meant you, that you're thinking that showed that Rav agreed halachas like Rabbi Akiva? Amar Lei said Ipcha Tnina. I actually said it the opposite way. I said halachas like Rabbi Akiva, and I said that the view of Rabbi Akiva is that a seller sells very stingily. He said, okay, mishimachi lo melach lo midi. That's why Rav didn't tell you anything, because that's the bottom line. Rav believes that a seller sells stingily, but we who say that it's not Rabbi Akiva who has that opinion, it's the sages who have that opinion. We have to say that Rav says halacha is like the sages, not that halacha is like Rabbi Akiva.
It's actually human nature in life, Rabbi.
What's human nature?
When there's someone a generous man.
Right?
That's the view. I don't know what the argument is about.
I don't know. Rabbi Akiva holds that no, that once a person is selling, he's so happy he's getting money, he sells everything.
But is it not more the type of people, Rabbi, than whether they are as a buyer or a seller? Some people are naturally generous and others are stingy. Versus whether they are buyers, whether it be the buyer or the seller.
Apparently not, right? Apparently it is a standard about sellers, but that's a good point. Maybe it should be dependent on the person, right? David, a question.
But that relates only to the easement, right? For keeps the well, but the discussion is whether he sells the
easement. Whether he had sold the easement and he has to buy that too, right? Whether he has to buy that back, right? Great. Amar le Ravina le Ravashi. Ravina said to Ravashi, Lema azdu tamai. We just said that there's an argument in Rav and Shmuel whether halacha is like the Chachamim, that's the view of Rav, that a seller sells stingily, or halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, the seller sells generously, that's the view of Shmuel. Maybe they are following what they argue elsewhere. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, because Rav Nachman says in the name of Shmuel, if a father dies and he leaves over two fields, so initially all of those fields belong to the estate. Then the brothers agree on the division. I'll get, you know, the field in Englewood, you'll get the field in Teaneck. So when the brothers agree on the division, Ein lahem lo derech zalze, even though there used to be a path through the field that the father had, now neither can walk through his friend's field to get to his field. Lo sulamo zalze, even though the father obviously could put up ladders, one can't put up the ladder in his friend's field to get to his field. Or chalono zalze, the one who gets the field on the right can't put up a building with a window looking out into the field on the left, and the one on the left can't insist that the irrigation canal keep running through the field on the right to get to him. And Shmuel said, be careful about this, because this is the halacha. And Rav Amar, Rav said, yes, and they do have these paths against each other. So presumably, what's the argument? The argument is like this, that when a person dies, initially the fields are jointly owned by his children. Then the children, when they're dividing up, and Reuven says, I'm going to get the field on the right, Shimon says, I'll get the field on the left, they're basically exchanging, they're selling. Reuven is saying, I'll sell to you the portion I have in your field, and you'll sell to me the portion that you have in my field. So I'll have all of the field of the right, and you will have all of the field of the left. We're going to sell the fields to each other. And apparently this is the argument. When a person sells, do they sell generously or stingily? So if you say they sell generously, so I no longer have any rights in my friend's field, my brother's field. I can't put up a ladder, I can't put up a window, even though my father used to be able to do that. But if when I sell stingily, so I sold to him the parts that I had in his field, but I retained for myself the right to have a path through, or the right to have a ladder, or the right to have a window opening. So that's the same argument.
No, it could be a different argument for a family member. Of course. It could be more generous.
Maybe. That's also true, right?
We bought the shares from the brother. Less to buy out.
Sometimes family members.
Less generous.
Less generous also. That's true. So the Gemara answers, Tzricha! We need both arguments! If we have only told you about the argument in the case of the brothers, Rav said that the brother retains rights. Because the brother says, it's true, I agree to the division of the field, but only in the sense that I want to live in it. I wanted to live in the field that I was taking the way Dad used to live in this field. So therefore, since Dad had, you know, the right of windows, and Dad had ladders, and Dad had an irrigation canal, that's what I want. Teda, how do you know that there is such an argument? Because that, in a certain way, is the nature of inheritance. The nature of inheritance is that the son is continuing what the father had. The verse says, "Tachas avosecha yu vanecha." In place of the father shall be the sons. Right, or samachem at aleph. Aval b'hav. But in this case of a regular sale, a guy who sells a field and he didn't include in that the well, same with Leila Shmuel. Maybe here Rav would agree to Shmuel that halacha is like the chachamim, and halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, that he sells very generously, and therefore he has to buy himself back the easement. V'etmar b'ha, and if it would have had the argument in the case of the man who sells the field and kept for himself the well, I would say b'achkam Shmuel. Here Shmuel says that halacha is, he needs to buy the easement again, because when he sells liberally. Aval bab, in regards to brothers, maybe he agrees with Rav that a brother certainly did not give everything away, that a brother wants to keep for himself the path through his brother's field, because he's taking a field to live in it the way his father lived in it. So Tzricha, that's why I need to tell you that the dispute is in both cases. So,
Rabbi, it's the primary issue here when there are two people splitting the property that the easement doesn't automatically transfer because it's going through one of them. And but if it's selling to one individual, then presumably whatever stays in place, the latter is...
No, not necessarily. We're just saying these are two separate questions, not necessarily dependent on each other. Inheritance is not necessarily the same as a sale. Yeah, question.
I think this is like a two-step process. So if you sell generously, then you say, and you give the easement, and then he has to sell you back the easement back for a reasonable price, he has to be equally generous, and the deal is done. So it's a two-step process. You're generous to him, he's generous to you, you're done. If you're trying to be generous to you, then he's going to try to charge a lot for the easement, but you... Then you take a step back and you're no longer generous to him.
Interesting. I don't think he has to be generous to you. I think once you as the seller are a generous seller, you've sold off that path, and now it's up to him whether he wants to sell it back. He can charge an exorbitant price for it.
David, did you find one like this today with your business?
No. You're
not thinking about it.
Amar le Rav Nachman Rav Huna. Rav Nachman said to Rav Huna, he said like this, Hilchasa Kavasin is halacha like us, namely, that Rabbi Akiva, that a seller sells generously, like the school of Shmuel. Hilchasa Kavasaychu is halacha like you, like the school of Rav, that a seller sells very stingily. Amale, so he said, I'll tell you. Hilchasa kavasaychu, halachas like the school of Shmuel. The mikravisu lubaba the reish kalusa, because you're next to the gate of the head of all the Jews in exile, the exilarch. So you are always judging. So if you think that that's the case, you're probably following the halacha. The shchichi dayani, you are in a place where all the judges are. Itmar, we learned. Let's say a person owns two apartments. The inner one is within the outer one. So in other words, to get to the inner one, you have to walk through the outer one. So let's say this man sold the two of them to two different people. Or he gave the two of them to two different people as gifts. They don't have a right of way through one apartment to get to the other. Because we say that when a person gives a gift, he gives it fully. Certainly when giving gifts, it's generous. So when he gave gifts, he gave each apartment fully to a friend. And he didn't say, I'm giving it to you, but you're going to have to leave a path through your neighbor to the next guy I'm giving a gift to. No, he gave it fully. So that's the case if they were both sold or both given as gifts. And Kol Shekein, certainly if Chitzon b'matana, if the outer apartment was given as a gift, because a gift is always generous, Uptimi b'mecher, and the inner one was sold, the guy who got the inner one does not have a right of way to walk through the outer one, because the outer one got his apartment from the owner, and it was a very generous gift. Savarmina, the Gemara figured, so the Gemara now asks, but... what about if chitzon b'mecher upnimi b'matana? What happens if the outer one was sold, but the inner one was a gift? Savarmina, they thought it in that case also, ein len derech zal zeh, that they don't have a path one against the other, velohi, but that doesn't seem to be the case, because mi lotna didn't learn in the Mishnah. When do we have all the rules of our Mishnah? That if you sell a house, you didn't sell the annex. If you sold a field, you didn't sell the well. That's all true, b'mocher, if you're selling. Ava b'mosein matana, but if somebody gives a gift, no sin is kula. And then when you give the house, you also gave the annex and the storeroom also. You give everything. Alma, apparently, mandi yoyev matana, bayin yafe yoyev. Whenever a person gives a gift, he gives very generously. Yeah. So if that's the case here too as well. Madiyav matana b'ayin yafe yahiv. If a person gives a gift, he gives it generally. So if he gave away the inner apartment as a gift, and he sold the outer apartment, we are sure that when he gave the inner apartment, he was very generous. And therefore, he left a right, he gave a right of way as well to the recipient of the inner apartment.
Is there any other way out of the inner apartment?
No. Now, in general, you ask a question on all these cases, right? Let's say the guy, if you follow the view of Rabbi Akiva. So a man said, I'm selling a field. And therefore, we say that means that he meant to keep for himself the well. But now he needs to buy the path to the well. So let's say the guy doesn't want to sell him the path to the well. So what was he gaining by keeping to himself the path of the well? The well. What was he gaining? So it could be what he was gaining was that he's going to sell the well to somebody else, figuring that somebody else is going to have to pay off the owner of the field to get a path to the well. So basically, by giving the purchaser from him, not just the field, but all of the field, even the path to the well, it was basically a favor to him. I'm going to give you the right to do some more business, to make some more money on this field, that you'll be able to sell the path. Maybe that's what he was trying to do. You know, I'm keeping for myself the well, but I'm going to come back to you because I'm going to have to buy a path. And I want to give you the ability to profit and be able to sell off the path.
The value of the well will be impaired if he has the right to win in the first place. Or so maybe why would any seller do that? I mean, if he's aware of it, he would at least, you know, as part of the sale, keep a right of way. Otherwise, the value
apparently
of
not. Right. Apparently and not. He sells entirely the field.
But the value of the well is worthless.
Kept for himself the well.
It's impaired.
I mean, it's not worthless. He sells it. He can sell it to somebody else. Maybe that other person has a better relationship with this guy, and he'll have an easier time getting a path from him.
This is not a generous seller, Rabbi.
He is. He's generous to the purchaser.
He's generous. He keeps the wells for himself.
Kept the well, but he sold everything else. He said he was very generous.
I mean, you know, the
pathway could be worth more than the water. Access to the well.
When he sold to his friend his a field, he sold to his friend in addition the path to the field, the path to the well. I mean.
I understand the case of that well, because you say the seller sells generously. But in the case of the apartment where he's selling to someone else and he's not, so he's selling two apartments, he's selling an inner apartment to someone, does a person have das to buy an apartment that he's not going to have access to?
Yeah, I'm selling to you the apartment, but now you're going to have to go work out with the other guy a path through the apartment. Path to the apartment.
Look how many do it before he buys it.
I guess the answer is he's getting it for a very cheap price.
Maybe he wants to help the guy who bought the outer apartment to give him chances to make money.
I'm sorry, I think because the Gemara teaching us not to make a mistake and keep something in the middle, then come for Tova. So be smart and leave first the path. That's what it's not as unique. It's as a
I think it is a guni. People in business, they give each other all sorts of things.
Can he sell it with the right of way? Can he sell it with the right
of way? If he said explicitly, yeah. Our question is, what does he mean when he sells an apartment without saying what it is going on? He owned two apartments. So we said, if he sells both, one to one person, one to another, then he did not retain a right of way. If he gave the inner apartment as a gift, and he sold the outer one, so since been giving a gift, he's very generous, that means he gave the inner apartment as a gift, and in the outer one there is a right of way to the inner apartment that he left for that recipient of the gift.
It also could be that he doesn't own that right of way. Maybe
no, he did. He owned both apartments.
For sure.
He owned both apartments.
And the water. No, not the apartments. Go back to the water.
Then he had owned it, right? He had owned the field.
Some other guy owns the right.
No, he had owned the field. He had owned the field and the well, and then he sold the field, but kept for himself the well.
So you have to be careful and make sure you put access to the well.
Yeah, that's always true. That's right. You have to write out things to know what it means, right? The next Mishnah. Amochir Sabai is the person who sold a house. What's included in the house? Machir Sadelas. The door is included. Avaloa samafteach, but not the key to the door. Macher samachdesh is kvua. He sold the mortar that was attached. Avaloa samitalteles, but not the mortar that's movable. Nachar said Strobel. He sold the ring that is around the mill, which is permanent. Avaloa sakeles, but not the hopper. The hopper is apparently a detachable piece.
Lower millstone and upper stone.
Not movable.
It's movable. Right? The upper one is movable.
Not bolted down, not
good. So when he sold an apartment, he didn't sell the oven in the apartment because that's movable. However, Bizman Shamalo, but if he sold the house and he said to the buyer, I'm selling it to you, the house, it and everything in it, then a kulin machun, and even the movables are sold. Lema mas nisin lo Rabbi Meir is our Mishnah against Rabbi Meir. Dear Rabbi Meir, because if you're going to say it's Rabbi Meir, I am, but he says in a braisa, when you sell a vineyard, machers akerem, machers tashmishi akerem. When he sold the vineyard, he sold all the tools of the vineyard. So that's against our Mishnah. It says when you sell a house, the movable objects are not included in the sale. So Gemara says there could be a difference. I feel the same Rabbi Meir. Could be it is Rabbi Meir. Some kavia. Maybe when we're talking about a vineyard, we're talking about movable. We're not talking about movables. We're talking about objects in the vineyard that are attached to the vineyard. Hacha lo kavia. Here, when we say that when you sell a house, you haven't sold the things that are in the house, it's referring to those things that are not permanent attached, that are movable. So the Gemara asks, "Iva mafteach to midudelas katani." But our Mishnah said that a sale of a house does not include a key, but it does include a door. So we're talking about a key that is similar to a door. So ma delas tekviyaf mafteach tekviyaf. So doesn't that mean that just like the door is clearly permanent, it's attached? The key that we're talking about is an attached key. So the Gemara says, you're right. You're right. Ela machvarta. The Masnis and the Lok Rabbi Meir, that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah says when you sell a house, you haven't sold certain things with it. Rabbi Meir says that when you sell a vineyard, you've sold everything with it. It's against our Mishnah. Tanar Rabbanu Melinda Nebraisa, Mocher Sabayis, the person who sells a house, Macher Sadelis, including the sale, is the door, Vesanagar, and the bolt, Vesamanul, and the lock. But the key is not included. If he sold the mortar that was carved out of something attached to the ground, that is sold. But not the mortar that was attached to the ground later, but not carved out of the ground.
That's what it says. And then you wanted the generous
because the key is movable.
I don't want to go in the house.
I guess they had other ways of getting through locks. Maybe they had pliers or other things.
Bolt cutters.
Machar it's Trubel. He sold the bottom of the millstones of Aloha Sakelas, not the top. He hasn't sold the oven, the different type of oven called kirayim, nor the reichayim. Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe Lezer says, nope. Anything attached to the ground, even if it was first they made the mortar, then they attached the mortar to the ground, is considered the ground and sold with the ground and included in the sale. Says the price of his man, Shamalahu v'chol mashiv esocha. But if he said, I'm selling to you the house and everything in it, harei kulan mechurim, then everything is sold. Bein kachu, bein kach. And even if he said, I'm selling to you the house and everything in it, l'machalo esabor v'lo esadus v'lo esayotziyah, he has not sold the well or the cistern, the dus, that's the well with stones, nor the annex. So now, an interesting argument. When a person sells a house, so certainly included in the house would be the mortar that was carved out of the stone of the house. What about the mortar that was made and then attached to the ground? That was an argument. So maybe the question is, when you make an object and then you attach it to the ground, does it become ground? Or does it maintain its identity and it's not considered ground? So that should have another ramification in regards to mikvah. We know that the water in the mikvah has to be pure water. It can't be water that was transported through a vessel. What happens if you have a vessel, but you attach the vessel to the ground? So is it now ground? So the water that went through it is considered still pure water that didn't go through a vessel? Or do we say it maintains its identity, even though it was attached to the ground, so now it's water going through a vessel, which would disqualify the mikvah? Tanur Rabbanan, our sages told us in a braita, tzinor, a gutter, shechakiko, that it was first hollowed out, it was a vessel, and then ilavasofo, then it was attached to the ground. So now, if the water goes through it, postalas mikvah, that water disqualifies the mikvah. But if it was first attached to the ground, and then it was hollowed out, eno postalas mikvah. So first it was attached to the ground, then it was made into a utensil. So it was never made into a utensil, because it was always part of the ground. So that it does not disqualify the mikvah. So money. So the Gemara said, who's this? This is Lower Belezer, the low Rabbanan. So the Gemara explains. Hey, Reb Elezer, so which Reb Elezer are we saying is it not following? Elam Reb Elezer de Bais, or say it's the Reb Elezer who says that the mortar attached to the ground is considered ground. So this is against this law, because this law says that when you have a pipe and then you attach it to the ground, it's not considered ground. Maybe not. Dilma Hainu Taima, Reb Elezer Savar Mocha Bar and Yafar Mocha. Maybe Reb Elezer says that the mortar is sold only in regards to a seller, because the seller he holds sells generously. Rabbanan Savi Mocher Bayin Rav Mocher. And the Rabbanan hold that a seller sells stingily. But maybe in regards to whether or not a pipe is considered attached to the ground, maybe they can all live with this idea that a pipe is not considered attached to the ground in regards to a mikvah. So rather, when we said it's not like Reb Elezer, not like the Chachamim, it's El Reb Elezer de Kaveres Dvorim. It's the view of Reb Elezer in regards to a beehive. It's not in the Mishnah. Kaveres Dvorim Reb Elezer Omer Reb Kikarka Vekosvon Aleh Prusbol. Reb Elezer says a beehive is considered ground, and you can write on it a Prusbol. So if it's considered ground, now a beehive wasn't always part of the ground. It was there, and then it was attached. So that would be against the view of, if that's grounds, then it's not something that would disqualify a mikvah. Because once it's the ground, it wouldn't disqualify a mikvah. If you say that a pipe that's later attached disqualifies a mikvah, that's not, you're saying it's not grounds. That's not like this view of Reb Elezer in regards to a beehive.